It was one of the most important meetings of my Jesuit life. For this meeting and conversation with my theology rector, Father Frank Hodek, was to determine whether or not I would be approved to be ordained or not as a Jesuit priest. And so I approach Father Hodek's office, nervously, prayerfully, and a bit painfully. For you see, I was on crutches. Having sprained my ankle a few days before, Father Hodek greeted me and asked me what had happened. And I responded, relating with some embarrassment, this sequence of events. You see, Father, a group of us were playing volleyball, and I'd stepped on a teammate's foot, which caused me to stumble into the net and crash to the ground, writhing in pain. Seeing my suffering, a couple of Jesuits picked me up, carried me to a nearby car, drove me straight to the emergency room where my ankle was x-rayed, was put into a cast, and given the customary crutches. Father Hodek asked me how I was feeling, to which I responded that my ankle was better, but I was feeling a great deal of vulnerability. As I told him, I do not like the fact that I put my fellow Jesuits through so much trouble. There were the Jesuits who picked me up, the Jesuits who carried me to the car. There were the Jesuits who drove me to the emergency room. There were the Jesuits who waited till the cast was put on, and who taught me the art of walking with crutches. And then there were the Jesuits who now helped me to get my meals, carried my books, and who were asking me how I was doing. I was feeling uncomfortable about being so needy, so vulnerable, and embarrassed. Father Hodek then smiled, and with a twinkle in his eye remarked, "Kevin, don't take this the wrong way, but you're having to be cared for by your fellow Jesuits during this period of discerning your ministry is the best thing that can happen to you." To which I thought, easier for him to say. "Because, Kevin, if you are to serve others, you need to have a sense of what it feels like to have others serve you for a certain time. Are you weak enough, not just to be a priest, are you weak enough to be a disciple of Jesus? Yes, there is a sense of embarrassment and vulnerability, but this is what it means to grow as a Christian, indeed as a human being." Tonight's gospel, in which Jesus serves his fellow disciples, reminds me of that incident. It always gives me that sense, so many years ago, what does it mean, not just to be a priest, but to be a disciple of Jesus? In effect, Jesus was testing Peter to see if he was humble enough, vulnerable enough to be a follower. Here again, listen to the scene. "What I am doing, Jesus says, you do not understand now, but you will understand later." Don't we all, in our vulnerabilities, have a different sense afterwards? What is the wisdom we learn when we are suffering or vulnerable and needy? And Peter said to Jesus, "You will never wash my feet." To which Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you will never have inheritance with me." To which Peter beautifully, courageously, in an inspiring way said, "Master, then not only my feet, my hands and head as well." Might we say the same thing in those great moments of consolation when we're open to be vulnerable companions of Jesus? Each of us, sometime in our lives, are called to be served by another's care. Of course, as children, we have little problem with the many ways our mother or father serve us, or how we expect a doctor or nurse to take care of us when we are in need. But at other times, we feel embarrassed, don't we? Feel vulnerable, especially when the care is given freely and generously. We shrink back. "I'm not worthy." At the time of that meeting so long ago with my theology rector, and during my ordination discernment, another Jesuit, Father Michael Buckley, gave me an article he had written titled, Because Beset by Weakness. In the article, Father Buckley asked, are we weak enough to be a priest? Are we weak enough to be disciples of Jesus? More recently, the spiritual writer Ron Rollheiser developed Father Buckley's thought from this essay to apply to all Christians. Father Rollheiser raises this question. Shouldn't one try not to be weak? Isn't it best to be strong? That is true if one is speaking morally. But it isn't true if one asks a different kind of question. Are you deficient and weak enough so that you cannot ward off significant suffering in your life? Are you weak enough that the suffering of others affect you deeply? Ah, the suffering of others affects us. Peter was learning that difficult lesson. Father Buckley and Father Rollheiser also note that Jesus was weak in precisely this sense. He could feel the suffering, our suffering. It was this deficiency, this weakness in Jesus, his incapacity to protect himself against pain that made his life, his suffering, his death so particularly redemptive and meaningful for us today, tonight. To try to explain this, Father Buckley makes a comparison between Jesus and Socrates, a comparison in human excellence. The result is that Socrates, judged by certain categories, is superior to Jesus on virtually every score. Thus, for example, one can compare their deaths. Both were good men, unjustly condemned by jealous opponents, but they met their deaths very differently. Socrates went to his death with a certain calmness and poise. He heard the judgment of the court, accepted it, calmly spoke concerning what death might mean and about the possibilities of immortality, appeared unafraid, drank the poison, and died. One pictures his death scene like a Hollywood death, so often portrayed with heroes and heroines dying. Death without a hair or emotion out of place. Death faced in a way that the rest of us, ordinary, less put together mortals, can never approximate. Socrates' death. How different Jesus' death. He sweated blood from the time it became inevitable that he was going to die. Jesus became afraid, very afraid, and began to pray with loud cries and tears to him who was able to hear him about his death. And Socrates, did he ever cry over Athens? Jesus cried over Jerusalem for the people then, in history, and indeed today. Jesus is weeping for what is happening in the Middle East. Finally, in the end, Jesus established some control over himself and moved towards his death in silence and lonely isolation, crying out in agony to a God who seemed to have let him down. Not exactly the way one would imagine a God to die, so vulnerable, so needy. Jesus was possessed by the Spirit as he faced his death. Jesus was possessed by the Spirit as he washed the feet. And the greatest way he was giving them was this gift. In your vulnerability, trust me, and I will make you strong. That is what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Yes, Jesus was beset by weakness, and he calls us in our own way to own our weakness and our vulnerability as he was. In his action of washing his disciples' feet, he was about to enter into the suffering. And what a way to prepare his disciples in this action that we will shortly have commemorating the washing of the feet prepares us to receive the passion so that we can more accept what it means by Easter. And so when you watch our sisters and brothers having their feet washed. Bring in your own way your crutches, your vulnerability, and your neediness. Allow Jesus' Spirit to wash your feet. Your feet, your head, your hands, like Peter, all over, so that you can receive the balm, the strength of Jesus, who in Paul's words, in our weakness, in our vulnerability, in our neediness, we do become true disciples of Jesus the Christ.